In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let all of God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. August 20th, 2013. August 20th, 2013, a day I shall never forget. Standing at the gate of Virgin Atlantic Airways at JFK Airport in New York, my husband Kim and I bid farewell to our then 18-year-old daughter Priya for her freshman year in London. Teenagers, your freshman year is coming when you can get away from your parents. Priya, being a teenager, said a very quick goodbye and walked as fast as she could solo onto the gate. And she never, you know, looked back. You got it. Our hearts broke with inconsolable sorrow for a chapter ended. Even my stoic husband cried. I asked myself, as we released our one and only child into this dangerous dark world, what of eternal value is she taking to London for her freshman year? Did we as parents teach her things of eternal value? Will she be salt? Will she be light? Will she bring God colors in this world? As Priya walked onto the gate, I wondered, what will she remember? The stupid fights. You know, parents, we have those stupid fights with our kids. Or will she remember the values we try to instill in her? What did Priya witness in our walk, in the way we spent our time and our resources? Will she take any of that to London for her freshman year in college? Will Priya, her kids, and her grandkids learn to serve others? Will she stand up against darkness? Standing at JFK Airport as the plane lifted off and carried our daughter for her new chapter in life, I wrestled, and I still wrestle. If I've lived in such a way that she will make a real difference in this very troubled world. Today, Jesus is standing literally in our midst, at the gateway of our lives on this very ordinary Sunday, in this very perilous times, to give us clear and concise instructions as we take off after worship to go into this real world. I want you to take out the gospel, because these are the instructions for us. I'd like us to read it together, the beginning part. This is a participatory sermon, so if you fell asleep, it's time to get awake. Let's read the first few verses together, because these are Jesus' clear instructions for us, for our takeoff. Let me tell you why you are here. You are here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in this world. Okay. All right. These words are the words of Jesus. Jesus outlived his life through the light and salt he shared with his disciples. Let me tell you, they were far from perfect. Jesus called hard-headed, forgetful Peter. Jesus called egocentric James. Jesus called insensitive John. And Jesus called a very unsophisticated Andrew. Jesus' disciples were not born heroic, nor born saints. They had seen the light. They had tasted the saltiness of Jesus by being with Jesus. Paul Tillich said, a saint is not a saint because he is good, but because he is transparent for far more than himself. Let me quote that again for you to ponder. A saint is not a saint because he is good, but because he is transparent for far more than himself. Being transparent, being a window of opportunity, being a means of grace, being salt that brings out the God flavors, being light that will bring out the God colors. That is the true meaning of our lives. 2 weeks ago, on a Sunday afternoon, I was in a house that was filled with light amidst great evil and pitch black darkness. I visited the Anne Frank House in Amsterdam. Anne Frank, for those who don't know, was born in Germany in 1929 and came with her family to Amsterdam to escape the horrors of Nazis. In 1940, when the German army came into the Netherlands, the Frank family went into hiding. Anne Frank, being a young teenager, lived in a pitch black, dark room to hide from the Nazis. She wrote about her darkness, quote, "During the day, our curtains cannot be opened, not even an inch." Yet, in this dark room, I experienced light. I experienced her hope, her prayers, her writing of her diary of wanting to be free. On the wall she wrote, "I want to go on living even after my death." At 13 years old, Anne Frank wrote of being salt and light. This book was given to me by my mother when I was 13 years old, living in a little village in India, and this book convinced me to fight against persecution and discrimination. I knew when I read the book, Anne Frank's would-haves would be my opportunities. Anne Frank outlived her death in the Nazi camp. Anne Frank knew her story from death to life. Do you know your story? Do you know your story from death to life? We can be busy, 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 as Isaiah 58 says, but if you do not know your story, we can't be salt and light. Do you really know God's word that says, while we were still sinners, God died for us on the cross? Do we really hold on to the promise that nothing, nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ? Do we believe that all of us, regardless of our skin color, regardless of our sexual orientation, regardless of our immigration status, we are made in God's image? We are God's, the Greek word is poema, masterpiece to do good work. Do we really hold on to the fact that all things work together for good for those who love God according to his purpose? Do we believe the words read so eloquently from Isaiah 58 today, what God wants from us? Do we really believe that God wants us to break the chains of injustice, to get rid of exploitation in the workplace? Do we know that God wants us to share our food with the hungry, invite the homeless into our homes, put clothes on the shivering, ill-clad? God says, when we do this, our lights will turn on, and our lives will turn around at once. God's word gives us our story and clear, unequivocal instructions on how to be salt and light. Into this insipid and shadowed world, our Lord Jesus sends us, imperfect as we are, to be salt and light. So when we forgive and give grace, when we sacrificially give of our time, talent, and treasure, when we feed the hungry, clothe the naked, when we stand up for those who are persecuted, when we walk the talk, when we transmit the godly stories of salt and light through godly play to our children and grandchildren, when we worship regularly, when we get up each morning and choose hope and life, when we raise our kids to be givers more than takers, when we choose commitment here at St. Peter's instead of consumerism, yes, we will outlive our lives and bring out God flavors and God colors. We become salt and light not because we are inherently good. Make no mistake, we are not. But because we are transparent for something that is more than ourselves. I like to close with an incredible fable, one of my favorite fables by Max Lucado. Listen carefully to the fable. Unfavorable winds blew the ship off course, and the sailors spotted uncharted islands. And the captain ordered the men to drop anchor, and they went ashore. On the first island, the captain saw nothing but profound sadness. Underfed children. No farming, no schools, just terribly needy, sad people. Then the captain came to another island. The children had bright eyes. They had strong bodies. The people looked incredibly healthy, glowing. The captain could not believe the stark contrast of the two islands. And the captain asked the tribal chief, "How has this island moved so far from the other islands?" The chief smiled and answered, "We owe it all to Father Benjamin." The captain asked, "Can you take me to see where Father Benjamin lives?" And the tribesmen took the captain to the jungle ridge, to the medical clinic. The captain was impressed, but repeated the request, "I'd like to know where Father Benjamin lives." The tribesmen was puzzled. They took him They took the captain to fish ponds that connect to the ocean and the canal gates for fishing. The captain was once again impressed, but was curious where Father Benjamin lives. The tribal chief took the captain to the roofed chapel and told the captain, "This is where Father Benjamin taught us about God's light. Can I talk to Father Benjamin now?" asked the captain with breathless anticipation. The tribal chief nodded his head and said to the captain that Father Benjamin died years ago. The bewildered captain stared at the tribal chief and said, "I asked to see Father Benjamin, and you invited me to show me a clinic, a fish farm, a chapel. You failed to tell me about his death." The tribal chief replied, "You did not ask about his death. You asked where Father Benjamin lives, and we showed you." Sisters and brothers in Christ, when our children and our grandchildren ask where we live, years and years after we have died, I want to ask you this question: where will the guide take them to show that indeed we were light and salt and made an eternal difference? Trust me, we want our lives to matter. We want to live in such a way that the world will be glad we did, like Anne Frank, like Father Benjamin. And trust me, they will be remembered longer than any MVPs of the Super Bowl game today. Can I get an amen for that? As we stand at the gate to send off our children into a very insipid, narcissistic world, may God grant our children saltiness that outlives our grave and God's eternal light that outshines the darkness of our final breath. Let the people say, "Amen." The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.